from the Gospel of John, but some really great insight, some deep theology there, certainly. Kind of makes it hard to read and hard to listen. But as you pray through this scripture, I invite you to take it home with you if you haven't already, and pray with it this week, pray with it this upcoming week. You guys are familiar with St. Francis of Assisi, maybe? Head nods? Okay, I see a few head nods. Maybe the rest of you say yes, but it's too early for a head nod. And I'm assuming St. Paul is pretty familiar with you, right? And we heard from him in our second reading as it was saints. So actually this year, the church has labeled as sort of the Jubilee year of St. Francis. It's 2026 is the 800th year since his death, I believe. I know it's 800 years since something. It was either since his conversion, I think it's since his death, but St. Francis up for us as a model this year. And I think he's a great model for us today as well, Paul. So let's look at their lives. So let's look at St. Francis of Assisi. If anyone knows anything about him, looking at his life before his conversion and after his conversion, there's a mark. He was a lover of pleasure, as he called himself. He enjoyed the party scene and sort of wantonly living. He lived a lot like the prodigal son in many regards. And based on his vision of life and what to rise in the ranks of nobility the best he can and to become, he went off the wall and soon learned that he didn't really have it in him to kill someone. He didn't find in the life of the knighthood, the life of living. So he decided, okay, my eyes have been opened a bit. Let's maybe go and become a well-to-do merchant, sort of middle class. Goes back again. He doesn't find what he's looking for, and his eyes are opened even larger. So much so that instead of going into knighthood, to strip bare in the town marketplace and money or pretty, and wants to follow Christ as the gospel show. So a real marked difference between the life before his conversion and life after. He encountered Christ, and there was a big change. The life of St. Paul, which is to round up and capture these Christians. He was on his way to Damascus to round up these Jews like he had done in Jerusalem and put them to the sword or put them in prison. And what happens? He encounters Christ, and every moment after that is markedly different than what was it like. Their eyes, both those saints' eyes, were opened, and they saw a true reality present to them that they hadn't been before, that they hadn't seen before. The mentions of sight readings for today are important for us. And sort of the example of these saints, really of all the saints, but I'm just highlighting these two, for instance. The lives, their lives, and that sort of example there with light and sight and seeing is important for us. It's been able to look at sort of the spectrum of light. So we're talking about light today, so I'll kind of enumerate a little bit. So as science has progressed, it's been able to see that light is sort of a spectrum. We understand light as humans as sort of visible light, right? But there's a larger spectrum here. We only see a little bit. That's what we call visible light. But the larger spectrum is large. Radio waves, X-rays, gamma rays, it goes on, ultraviolet. Infrared, things that we're not able to see with our eyes that are present in reality, right? And it's actually pretty remarkable. Invisible light makes up a small chunk of it. In fact, it's less than a percent. It's a tenth, less than a tenth of a percent, rounding up. Less than a tenth of a percent of all light is visible to us. We see very little of the reality present for us. Understanding how God sees the world. Less than one-tenth of 1%. Reality is much bigger. Like the example of those two saints, Francis of Assisi and St. Paul, the reality of them converting, having a real encounter with Christ, and seeing the world totally different. So much so that St. Paul's and many tribulations for the sake of offering the gospel to people. That's a little crazy, right? You'd think, how is that at all equal? But it's there. St. Francis of Assisi forsaking all property, living, you know, begging for his entire sustenance. Did he go crazy? No. He encountered Christ, and he was able to see a much larger perspective, a much larger part of the spectrum. We hear in St. Paul in the second reading that light produces every kind of goodness and righteousness and truth. It says every sort of goodness, righteousness, and truth. Well, it's this notion that with the eyes of Christ, being able to see more of the spectrum, really the whole spectrum, we're able to see truly what is good for us, truly what is righteous and what is truth. And in seeing those things, there's something innate in us which desires goodness in us that says, ah, finally, this is it. This is what I was made for. Let's follow this. That's what he speaks to, that with this light from Christ, we can see the greater reality and what we're called to be and called to do. He urges us, essentially, works of darkness, which come when we sort of narrowly look at the world through this 0.1%, through the sort of the way that the world sees it. The world is not able to see the full spectrum. Why? It doesn't have Christ. We often don't have Christ imbuing our eyes to see the full spectrum, our present day-to-day. Our readings tell us there's much more present than that. So what are we to do? How do we see? Well, the beauty is the grace that we're given in our baptism is new eyes to see, to not just be narrowly focused on this 0.1%, to see the plan that God has for our life, the goodness that is present in the world, the way that he intercedes, the way that he guides us. He gives us eyes to see that in our baptism. Now often, that's sort of full spectrum. So we relegate our focus to kind of what's needed in our day-to-day, right? We kind of forget that we have this gift. There's been moments in our life where I think the Lord has revealed this gift through moments of grace, through seeing sort of the occurrences and saying, wow, Lord, you've been with me. Or, wow, I can't believe that you somehow turned this plight into something good. He's given us moments to see, but he desires for us to see, as St. Francis of Assisi did and St. Paul did, clearly the whole picture. It's already, that's been given to us. But we see. And our eyes gain so closely, it's hard for us to understand how to open them back wider again. So we come to the Lord and ask him for that. In the gospel, he simply came to the man and did and performed really, he rubbed it on the guy's eyes and said, now go wash off this clay. Outwardly, it seems like this is a very easy thing to do, right? Similarly, Father, in moments, will speak words over mere bread and mere wine, and we, in turn, intuit the miracle that deed that nothing happens to. In our lives, Christ comes to dwell with us and to guide us, and maybe very simple tasks and simple things, we can easily look past those. Our invitation from the Gospels, our invitation from the readings today, is to not look past those moments, to again open us to the capacity to see the full spectrum, and to renew us sort of the virtue of always seeing that full spectrum, and not going back to necessarily narrow-mindedness or narrow-sightedness. We ask him for these things, as the blind man did. The blind man, we, this fourth Sunday of Lent, approaching Easter, we need to Christ and ask him, again, Lord, renew my vision. Help me with this virtue to grow in always seeing, after this moment where you open my eyes again, to always live as someone who sees the Sunday with the Eucharist, with these readings. As we progress on, to develop this sort of seeing, this saintly seeing, this seeing as God sees, may we, on Easter Sunday, see the real risen glory of Christ, feel it in our bones, know it. Amen.